Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
That is correct. And today, we have an interesting episode.
Of course.
It's kind of a history episode and a crime episode, because, you know, we like to keep you knowledgeable, make sure you... Einstein's out there. So, today's episode covers one of the most horrific events of the 20th century. The Nanjing Massacre, also known as the Rape of Nanking. Just to let you know, this is quite a heavy topic. What happened there was really awful. So, this is a bit of a disclaimer, if anything. But we're going to step back into 1937. Into a world that was spiraling into war. By 1937, tensions between China and Imperial Japan were already boiling. Japan had invaded Manchuria in 1931, establishing a puppet state and was expanding aggressively across Asia, which is kind of impressive because Japan is a very small island compared to Asia as a whole. So talk about military strength.
Yeah.
So on July 7th, 1937, a clash at the Marco Polo Bridge ignited full-scale war. Japan's military, better equipped, heavily trained, and highly industrialized, rapidly pushed into northern China. By December, which was 5 months later, Japanese forces were moving towards Nanjing, which was then the capital of the Republic of China. Okay, so obviously an important city. The Chinese government realized they couldn't defend the city. They evacuated most of the officials, but left behind hundreds of thousands of civilians, which I think often happens with war. You know, the VIPs always get out. They're the first ones on the helicopters. The same with the Titanic. It was the VIP first class, the first on the boats. But then the third class, which was left to drown.
You best believe that if, like, say there was a natural disaster or like a big war coming up, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, you know, the VIPs or, you know, the officials had like some underground bunkers.
Oh, 100%.
Like, be like a hideout, you know.
A nuclear bunker.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all. So, Nanjing was about to become the site of one of the worst atrocities of the century. On December 13th, 1937, Japanese troops entered the city. What followed wasn't merely the brutality of invading soldiers, it became a calculated wave of terror. Japanese commanders encouraged spirit among troops, failed to enforce discipline, and fostered a culture of dehumanization towards the Chinese. And it's always very dangerous to dehumanize a group of people, because then killing them, hurting them, abusing them, it doesn't become a problem because they're not humans anymore. It's happened in so many wars. If you even just look at what happened in Rwanda, the one group or the one tribe was dehumanized compared to the other tribe, and the other tribe was like lifted above, and then next thing, massacre on steroids, genocide on steroids. So it's very, very dangerous. I mean, Hitler did the same thing. He dehumanized the Jews, and that's why the German soldiers were so okay to kill the Jews. The same thing happened here with the Japanese soldiers. They used propaganda to portray Chinese civilians as subhuman and disposable. In this environment, mass violence exploded. The massacre lasted approximately 6 weeks. Imagine the terror you must live in for 6 weeks. And it was from mid-December 1937 to January 1938. Civilians and captured soldiers were gathered in large groups, sometimes thousands at a time, taken to the outskirts along the Yangtze River or into fields and machine gunned, bayoneted, or buried alive. Estimates vary wildly, but most historians place the death toll, and listen to this, between 200 and 300,000.
That is wild.
In 6 weeks, you kill 300,000 people. How? That's crazy.
That's like
50,000 a week.
Yeah, like that's like killing spree on steroids.
I honestly don't know what to say. The fact you can kill 50,000 people in 1 week for 6 weeks. Exactly, I'm just speechless. There's no words. So one of the most horrific aspects was the widespread sexual violence. Women were assaulted in their homes, in the streets, and even inside designated safety zones. 20 to 80,000 women and girls were raped, and many were killed afterwards. That's so sad. Age offered no protection, as victims ranged from children to elderly women. Nobody was safe. Entire sections of the city were burned, homes were looted, families were torn apart, neighborhoods were completely destroyed. Some Japanese officers were so emboldened by lack of discipline that they reportedly staged public competitions such as who could kill 100 people the fastest. I mean, this sounds like Hunger Games type of stuff. Not stuff that actually happens in real life. This sounds like, you know, fiction. Competitions to see who can kill the most people. I actually think that's another level of messed up.
Yeah. I mean, that's like beyond, like, I can't even find the words to describe it, but it's like, using the term inhumane would be an understatement.
Agreed. It's barbaric.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can describe it. Like, you have so little sympathy or empathy for human life that you have competitions about killing people.
Like, I mean, no consideration, like, taken at all. No. Like, nothing.
Nothing. So, these stories were then published in Japanese newspapers of the time, turning human suffering into sick entertainment. When I tell you it is literally Hunger Games in reality, it's Hunger Games in reality. Okay? Amid the horror, a group of Western missionaries, professors, and business people attempted to create Nanjing safety zones, an area where civilians could flee for protection. Notable figures who were included was John Rabe, which, please listen to this because I think it's quite ironic, a German businessman and Nazi party member. Imagine you're a Nazi party member and you're protecting people in Japan. Talk about ironic.
Yeah.
And he used his status to shield civilians. Then there was Minnie Vartrin, an American missionary who sheltered thousands of women. And even inside the zone, however, Japanese soldiers regularly invaded, dragging civilians out. Without these individuals, the death toll would have been much higher. And I commemorate those people because that's not easy, because it puts a massive target on your own back that you would stand up to the soldiers. Okay, so the big question here is, why did this happen? Historians offer several overlapping explanations. There are four. The first is military indoctrination. Japanese soldiers were taught extreme nationalism, obedience and a belief that surrender was dishonorable. That's why many Japanese soldiers in the world wars would commit suicide rather than, well, surrender. Because it was, I mean, you would bring not only dishonor to yourself, but your entire family. They saw Chinese captives as weak and unworthy of mercy. The second was breakdown of command. Many officers lost control of their troops or simply didn't care enough to control them. So it's like it was a free fall. The third reason was dehumanization. Propaganda portrayed Chinese people as lesser beings, and the moral collapse opened the door for unrestricted violence. Like I said, dehumanization is very dangerous. And the fourth was desire for victory at any cost. Japan wanted a quick, crushing win to break Chinese morale, and terror became a weapon. So when the massacre ended in early 1983, Nanjing was nearly completely destroyed. So now, was there consequences for this? What happened after? So after World War II, the International Military Tribunal for the Far East charged Japanese officers with war crimes. General Matsu Iwan was held responsible and executed. Even today, however, the massacre remains politically sensitive. Some Japanese nationalists deny or downplay the death toll, kind of being like, no, we didn't do that. Okay. China, meanwhile, commemorates December 13th as National Memorial Day, obviously to remember all the people who had been killed during this massacre. But despite the debates, overwhelming evidence from photographs, films, diary entries, and eyewitness accounts make the event one of the most documented massacres in wartime history. The Nanjing massacre left a scar not only on China, but on humanity's understanding of wartime brutality. Today, the Nanjing Massacre Memorial Hall stands on the site of one of the mass graves, a solemn reminder of what unchecked militarism and dehumanization can lead to. So, I chose, well, when choosing this topic, I went ahead, the reason I chose it was because I think it's important. These crimes are just as important to document as like a serial killer or a heist. I think war crimes are they're very different, but they are very important crimes that cannot be forgotten, because if you forget it happens, you're most likely to do it again.
Yeah.
And so what happened was disgusting. I actually was reading a book which is based on this conflict between Japan and China. It is fiction, so it's obviously not based on, it's not reality, but it was very strongly based on this war. And the way it describes this massacre, it's disgusting. I actually remember reading it and being like, oh my goodness, how do people do this to other people? But I suppose the answer is clear. You don't treat them as humans.
Yeah, like, just like Danny said, you know, you don't treat them as humans. And yeah, this is one of the most, like, the worst form of degradation of human beings. And like she said, leaving a military unchecked is something that, like, if I was like calling the shots for something like that, I like put all of these soldiers on a firing line and like have them execute.
But how many times does this happen? Because my thing is, and I think in war it really is free for all. And I feel like so many crimes get committed in war that go unchecked or unnoticed or just left. And so, like I said, I think it's a very important thing to talk about and to look at, because this is crime on mass scale. Honestly, war crimes is crime on a mass scale. those people in this massacre are serial killers. 100%. They are rapists. They are abusers. And you know what I think war also brings? Is feeling power or feeling powerful and then doing whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. It's quite saddening. I don't know why Danny has been on a mood for saddening cases for the past couple of weeks. But yeah.
Aren't all crimes saddening?
Not necessarily. And I'm not saying that I have no sympathy for the victims of the crimes. However, you know, sometimes, you know, some of our stories give you a little bit of a thrill or, you know, trigger your thoughts versus your emotions.
Well, this is thought-provoking and it is emotion-provoking. And like I said, I did this because I think it needs to be remembered. It needs to be spoken about.
Yeah.
Because next thing, it's 10 years down the line and we're doing the same thing again. I mean, humans love to repeat themselves. So, but yes, that is the Nanjing massacre. It really is one of the most horrific massacres ever to take place in history, and it is definitely one of the worst war crimes we have seen. But is there anything you'd like to add? No? Well, we hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.